When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, we do it after wins, we do it after losses, but it's got very different meaning. There's a difference between game balls and blame balls. This is the game ball edition. The Eagles smoked Dallas. It's time for the Bat of the Bone Award. Reminder that Diddy, Ray Dettinger, joins us coming up at 7:55 today. And also the Merrill Montage shortly. What stood out? Merrill and Mike's calls from yesterday's game. But, John, let's hand out some game balls. Badasses out there. Who are you handing a game ball to yesterday, John?
I'm going to give it to our quarterback again. I like the way this looks. That 20 attempts, and we know it's truncated because we blew them out after the third quarter, and everything felt so, you know, complete. But man, I like what was it? 2-1. The 2-1 ratio we've got going on in the last five games of running the ball to throwing it just makes throwing it that much easier. And it's not going to change the fact that Jalen, when he has someone open with one-on-one coverage on the outside, he is as good as any quarterback out there at hitting that guy in stride.
His deep ball is really good. It's really good.
Yeah, so this is perfect. 2-1 ratio against bad teams. That's sort of the way good teams deal with everything. That's the way it unfolds. And he's our leader through all of this. Calm demeanor. Let's keep it going, Jalen. You're playing exactly the way we need you to.
That one on the rope to A.J. Brown for about 35 yards was a perfect pass.
Oh, my God.
Perfect pass. James, game ball, who are you giving it to?
Man, the defense flies around. We talked about how they're like all of a sudden a great tackling team. They're always where they're supposed to be. You know what they are? They are so well coached. Vic Fangio was freaking awesome again yesterday. This guy has taken a defense that was a disaster, unplayable last year, and has turned them into one of the best units in football. I know the opponents are what they are, yep. but numbers-wise, I thought Vic Fangio yet again yesterday, just his defense is always ready to play.
Fangio deserves a lot of credit. Rhea, who are you giving a game ball to?
I am going to give it to A.J. Brown for just another casual 109-yard game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any coincidence in their two losses he didn't play. You look, he had 119 in Green Bay, 116 with Cleveland, 89 and then 84 with Giants and Bengals, but those games were blowout. He got hurt against the Jags, just 36. But I just think you mentioned it, John, the deep ball throws, the combination between him and Jalen is a thing of beauty.
So, you know, I got three really big names written down here for Bat of the Bone from yesterday, and I'm going to go up the highest chain of command because I considered Nick, who I think deserves a lot of credit. I considered Howie, who I think deserves a lot of credit. But I'm particularly struck when the Eagles beat the Dallas Cowboys, who have Jerry Jones as their owner and general manager.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it to Jeffrey Lurie today.
Is this the first Jeffrey Lurie
game
ball? I think maybe.
So let's just consider the following that Lurie's imprint is on yesterday's game. First off, he did not fire Sirianni, even though a lot of people wanted him to do so. He consistently runs a quality organization in a lot of ways, on and off the field. You know, the 2020 thing is the only time in the last 7 years they're going to have missed the playoffs. I mean, they've been in the playoffs, I think it's 6 out of 7. They're obviously headed there again. And he just runs a great operation. And he pays a lot of money to the players like A.J. Brown that have been talked about, Saquon Barkley have been talked about. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie's a great owner. Look, Howie deserves a lot of credit. Nick deserves a lot of credit. But we are lucky in this town to have Jeffrey Lurie as the owner of the organization.
No doubt.
And especially, John, when you see Dallas and you see the Giants and what they're putting out there. Because they're just garbage organizations. They're just garbage.
Jeffrey Lurie cares so much about giving his team every opportunity to be the best. And he has always paid accordingly.
I mean, think of it this way.
And that's all you can ask for.
One of the biggest storylines in Dallas after the game yesterday was whether they should have curtains up to block out the sun.
It's insane.
It is insane.
And here's the thing is, Joe, supposedly, they put those curtains up for concerts.
That was reported widely yesterday that the Dallas Cowboy afternoon games are the only games that they don't put curtains up.
The NFL's got to step in.
Because
that was a disgrace.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about whether you should get the coin flip and when you get the ball and what direction of the field you should go to based on knowing when the sunlight's coming in, based on what time of the day it is. Like, what are we... What is
CeeDee Lamb was
It's his stadium.
Yep.
It's his stadium.
Yes.
All right, so shout out to Lurie, but also
God, it's terrible that they're a mess.
Honorable mention of Howie and Nick and a bunch of guys that had a big role in yesterday's win. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Zach right now. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello, Zach.
We got a football team, Zach. Oh, something. I sense something happened to him. We'll get back to him. Something weird with his phone. Steven in
hey,
Mel.
I needed to add something, Joe.
Yes.
The Commanders have a tight end.
Zach Ertz
is their starting tight end.
Yep.
They've got another tight end on their roster whose name is Colson Yankoff.
Thank you, John.
We're glad his first name ain't Richard. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steven right now in Malvern. Steven, what's up, buddy?
Not much, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
we got
what's
you,
up, Bob. Steven.
Yeah.
Awesome. John, Joe, you know, good morning.
Morning. Hold on. Great morning, Steven.
Great morning. Great morning. And it makes everybody feel good. You know, the one thing that stood out to me yesterday, I just literally rewatched the game at 4 a.m.
Jeez, good man.
Good for you.
Including the fourth quarter? No, you stopped it after three,
no,
right?
No. I did a fast forward. So it only took like an hour and a half. But the one thing that stood out to me in the first half was N'Kobe Dean. Outside of his solo tackles, he was in on every tackle in the first half when the game was on the line. And
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I watched N'Kobe. Man, I was telling actually Joe earlier today, watching N'Kobe in commercial breaks, I'm amazed at the way I used to be worried about him, the way he flies around and he just looked small, like overmatched. But man, he throws his body around and just bounces right back up. This guy really is tough and resilient, and he'll put a lick on you.
Steven, it's going to be fascinating to find out how they attack the financial realities. N'Kobe eligible for a contract after this year. Zach Bond eligible right now, but getting near the end of his one-year deal.
Both
what do they do?
You have to sign both of them.
Well,
like they work really well in tandem. But, John, I want to tell you this. The funniest thing in post-game life was Joel saying Cooper Rush couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, which is kind of ironic. And, John, this is for you. I went fishing on Saturday out of Cape May about 40 miles offshore, and I caught a 90-pound tuna. And
wow.
I was eating it during the Eagles game last night.
Oh,
there you go.
That must have – congratulations. That's wonderful. Nice work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing like catching it and eating it and preparing that thing yourself. Joe has never, ever done this.
I let someone else catch it. I let someone else prepare it, and then I eat it.
It really does taste better. I'm telling you, you catch a fish and clean it yourself,
sure.
It tastes fresher and better.
Yeah, it should. That makes sense. It does. All right, let's listen to Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday. So this was an interesting one. Obviously, Jalen very criticized last year, a whole bunch of fronts, but one of which was about his interaction with teammates. Whether it's in games or sometimes not in games. And he had a moment yesterday that was captured of him talking to teammates after one of his turnovers. And it was an interesting answer by Jalen Hurts. Let's listen to what he said.
After the fumble, you kind of went up and down the bench, like shaking everybody's hand.
You saw that.
What's that?
So you saw that.
I did, yes. So, I mean, what was that? What was kind of going through your mind in the moment? Like, were you trying to tell these guys, like, keep your head in there and, you know, everything and
all
of it?
No, you know, I think it's just we're in it together, you know, and I have, you know, zero pride or anything involved in owning my mistakes. And so I made a mistake and it hurt the team, you know, but I was thankful for them. They had my back and, you know, more so the defense and how they responded and how they played and just the conversations we have, and I think that's something that starts in the middle of the week, not even on Sundays, but we know that it takes all of us. And then, obviously, everyone, you know, offensively, just knowing we're just going to keep pressing and keep moving forward, keep staying with it, you know, keep throwing punches. And that's exactly, how we handled it.
It's nice work by Jalen. Look, he obviously struggled early, and it wasn't until, I don't know exactly when, maybe 5 minutes left in the second quarter, whatever it was, 2 minutes left, that he you know, kind of got it together. But That third quarter was dominant.
Deal. It's a huge deal that we got the two-minute offense rolling because you know I've had a major problem with the way that has functioned. That situational aspect of football has been problematic. We have not been good enough. Jalen has not been good enough. The offense has stalled consistently when trying to score at the end of the first half. It's been terrible, and no one has really been bellyaching about it because, hey, you know, we're winning anyway.
But you're going back a couple years now.
It's been ongoing.
No, I remember.
But
I remember.
This was different. This was the first time it felt like the gears caught or something in this game, offensively speaking. The defense was, of course, kicking butt.
Tremendous.
But all of a sudden, in a two-minute mode, the gears caught. We start rolling, and then carried that confidence into the locker room. Came back out, and the rest is history. I mean, that third quarter was music.
Well, I think they took, and I didn't mean the Eagles' offense and defense. They took Dallas's heart.
Yes.
Dallas ended that game without a heart.
Well, Dallas is
I know they stink.
Front runner.
No, they are.
If they can get a lead, if they can somehow get a couple, you know, steal a couple takeaways from you.
Yeah.
They'll roar and try for a bit, but they can't sustain.
No, and they just don't have very good talent right now. Let's actually listen to how it went down yesterday, because it was a little shaky early, obviously. But then the Eagles really, really got rolling. Let's listen to how it sounded here yesterday on WIP. Marilyn Mike, we're going to need a montage.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
If the Eagles play like they did since week 6, it should be easy. But they still need to play hard to win game 7.
Lush takes it, fumbles it, and the Eagles say they have it.
And they do.
And they do. Hurts is back. Here comes the rush. He swings it out to Barkley. Barkley breaks 3 tackles. Takes it to the 1. Hurts under center. Hurts sneaks. And he's in for the touchdown. It worked. To the Eagles. Break the ice. Rush. He gives it off to Elliott. And Elliott fumbles the football. Eagles recover the ball in the end zone. And it was recovered by DeGene. Eagles lead the Cowboys 7-6. Hurts. He lets it fly. He's got Brown. Brown at the 50. Brown at the 47-yard line. Brown came out of nowhere with a cloud of dust.
Really?
And a hearty hi-ho silver.
Really, really well done.
He's going to run. He's got plenty of room. 40. 35, 30, and he slides down shy of the 20.
Excellent decision.
Hurts looks. Here comes the rush. He's rolling, firing, complete. Touchdown! Dallas Goedert! And the Eagles will just take a snap, kneel down, and head for the locker room. Fortunately, because of that last drive leading 14-6. Here is the punt. Backing up is DeGene. He takes it at the 32, starts up the center of the field. He's at the 40, turns the corner to the 45-50, and run out of bounds inside the Cowboys' 40.
What an outstanding job, Cooper DeGene, putting the Eagles' offense now in Dallas Cowboy territory.
Handoff goes to Gainwell. He's at the 15, to 10, and he spins down to the 8. Hurts is starting to run. Now he fires. Complete! Touchdown! This time it goes to Johnny Wilson, his first touchdown in the NFL. Hurts is looping it deep downfield, and it is caught. What another great grab, and this time it is A.J. Brown. Gives off to Barkley, up the middle he goes, moving the pile almost 9 yards. That's more like it. It's Barkley slashing it for the first down and taking it to the 20 at 9 more yards. Gives it to Barkley. He's at the 15, cuts to the outside. He's at the 10, he's at the 9. Barkley is starting to move the pile. Hurts, keeps it, runs, cuts back, inside. Touchdown number 10, the Birds. 31, the Cowboys, 6. Now Kenny Pickett works hard, and this is an opportunity for him to have some fun. It is over. They just bury them. Eagles 34, Cowboys 6. Eagles are now 7-2.
Well, a thorough victory by the Eagles and a great job by Joe Wechter putting that together. Was that the Magnificent 7?
Good pull by you for
their
7th win. Yes, good pull.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's why I did it.
I didn't realize it.
He just told me why. I was like, what is that? I recognize it.
I thought it was a Dallas type.
That too. He said it was the combo of the Western thing and the 7th win. So a double whammy.
Well, well done by Merrill. Well done by Mike. Well done by Joe Wechter. And really, really, really well done by the Philadelphia Eagles, who just walloped them yesterday. Which, by the way, sets up Thursday night. James, I need a point spread here. So Eagles, Washington, Thursday.
Yes, I have it.
What are we looking at?
Would you like to guess?
Eagles by 4.
Very close. 3.5.
I didn't get to guess, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now you can just say you would have guessed 3.5. So
I wouldn't.
So, man, this is great. Mid-November, Eagles and the team they're right there with in the NFC East for first place. That's a beautiful. And by the way, Eagles are nipping on the heels of the Lions. Now, if you missed it, the Lions won a game, you know, late last night. It was close, tight. Lions
it was
still
ridiculous
only have,
they won.
The I know. They only still have one loss, but the Eagles only have two losses. So, and I am, you know, getting increasingly aware of San Francisco. I know they barely won yesterday. But, I mean, let's be real. With half a season to go, doesn't it feel like San Fran's going to win that division instead of Arizona? Which means San Fran would
no,
have...
It doesn't necessarily.
John.
Yes.
You think Arizona might win that division instead of San Fran?
Look at the way they're playing.
They played a lot better yesterday than San Fran did. San Fran barely beat Tampa.
I can't stand Jonathan, but they played well.
What teams did last year matters now.
Yeah, but I still think Kyler Murray's not that good.
Joe, I was 2 seconds away from texting you yesterday. Literally, my hand was on my button.
Yep.
Do you know who Bo Nix is now? And then they blocked the
exactly.
All right,
so you know, one of the things about this season that has continued to smack all of us in the face is who is good? And how good are the teams that are good? And are there 5 teams that are good? Are there 3 teams that are good? Are there 10 teams that are good? Look, we know this. The Eagles have become pretty good. We also know it's hard to know quite how good considering the 5 teams they've beaten in this 5-game winning streak have a combined record of 13-35. Those are just the facts. 13-35. Cleveland's 2-7, Giants 2-8, Cincy 4-6, Jacksonville 2-8, Dallas 3-6. So it's a bit of a conundrum. But clearly the Eagles are playing so much better than they did early this year. Jalen's playing a lot better. Now, he struggled in the first half, really got it together. Third quarter was great. And obviously, Saquon and A.J. and Devontae, guys like that, make a big difference. Let's go to the phones. Not to mention the defense, which if there's a true star of the game yesterday, in a collective sense, it's the Eagles' defense. They were magnificent. Magnificent 11. Ray Dittinger, in less than 10 minutes, joins the program. Zach right now. Zach, good morning.
Good morning. Bad job by me switching off the speakerphone.
No worries, buddy.
I would like to make up for that transgression by reading another open letter.
An open letter. Who is this one to?
So, dear Jerry Jones, in case you were too busy telling radio hosts in Dallas to get their damn act together, your Cowboys got cooked 34-6. Advice for next year's offseason, comparing players' Johnsons to that of Arnold Palmer's not a great strategy for draft and free agency. I recommend asking Howie Roseman for advice and your lunch money back. Sincerely, Zach from Medford.
You know, Zach, what goes through my mind when I hear you say that at the end? Could you imagine if Howie Roseman was ever a free agent? How much money he could make with all the billionaires bidding for him? I mean, forget bidding $20 million for a player. If I'm a GM with billions of dollars, I'd give him $20 million. I'm serious.
Yeah, why? Like, why would you limit?
I mean, seriously,
you're right.
There's no salary gap.
Who knows what he makes?
Like, we don't ever. Office.
We never hear what he makes. But I'll tell you this: it's probably not enough.
I mean, it feels like it's
probably name your price. That's for sure.
Zach, go ahead, man.
Well, it's a good thing we don't have to worry about that, considering Jeff and Howie are attached at the hip. But I wanted to kind of extend on Howie. When's the last time we watched an Eagles game and so many times the tackles made us go, oof, just watching these linebackers just destroy and blow up players on the field has been just a treat.
Well, it has been. I mean, they're hitting hard, and more than just hitting hard, they're just tackling well. I mean, you're not seeing the missed tackles that were rampant last season and were a problem.
Rampant in the Tampa game.
At the start of this season. I mean, yeah. Well, the playoff game was a joke. Total joke.
Well, they found their arms finally.
Well, I don't know if they found their arms. I mean, it could be better technique or what. It's just they're doing the job they got to do. And Zach,
Go ahead, buddy. I don't know how many times I was saying to myself, like, that when they were tackling, they were just throwing their bodies at the players and hoping it was going to work. And they never were using their arms. And now we've got, like, Reed Blankenship, Zach Bond. We've got N'Kobe Dean just wrapping people up and bringing people down. Like, when's the last, like,
We've been saying it for years. Tackling has been terrible. And finally, we get these stud linebackers into the mix. We have Reed Blankenship wrapping people up. It's just a 180 from the years past.
No, I got
well,
you.
We've had Reed Blankenship here for quite a while, and he has been wrapping up for quite a while. I don't think we appreciated him. I still probably don't. I think that Cooper DeJean does a better job. I think Cooper DeJean came in here and showed us an explosiveness and an excitement that Reed Blankenship didn't.
Look, DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell changed the defense. It's just a fact.
Quinyon's
they changed the defense.
Unbelievable, too. Yeah, those two. There's a brat. It's not even the right term to say cockiness because they're not. They're just very confident. They know they've got the goods.
Yep.
And they've got the confidence to go out there. They cover the best wide receivers in the league week to week. These two young dudes, they're just going out there. It's almost like they don't know what they don't know, and it doesn't matter.
Well,
they just go out.
They're making plays,
and let her rip.
I also feel like Gardner Johnson, the longer the season has gone on, the more he has settled back into the role he had in 2022 and is making better plays.
It's
I thought he started
just fly around.
Yeah. He started rough this year, but he's playing better ball now. Ray Dittinger in just a couple minutes joins us. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. What a great morning it is. John Ritchie, I thought about something that you said about Quinyon Mitchell a few weeks ago, and I don't know if it was a comment about a player or a pickup line that you used, but you said something to the effect of, I want to put my face on you. And that's just like just all kidding aside, just kind of the physicality that the DBs are playing with right now. And I have to,
That's amazing. Ed, you don't see that very often, that you've got two – these are cornerbacks, two young cornerbacks, not safeties, not guys like Brian Dawkins who are, they want to blitz, they want to tackle, they want to hit you. They're extra linebackers. These cornerbacks who cover wide receivers like cornerbacks also happen to be tough and tough-minded, and they can actually wrap you up too, which we love.
Yeah, but with DeJean especially, considering that he's, 6'1", 200 pounds, like if there's a matchup like a Mark Andrews when we play the Ravens, like you could just as easily bump him down and just shadow Mark Andrews all day. I mean, he's got the height on him, but, I would feel a lot better with him doing that than a shorter, slower slot corner.
Ed, you know what I just noticed you did, and I appreciate it? You just put the Eagles in the Super Bowl against the Ravens.
They're also on our schedule.
Well, they play them this year.
Yeah, but it's more cool thinking about the Super Bowl. No, Ed, I get your point, man. He's got physicality. I mean, I remember when the Eagles used to have Dawk against Shockey. It was a hell of a matchup.
That's it. It's going back.
There was a matchup. I mean, those guys had freaking battles. And Cooper DeJean, barring injury, and Quinyon Mitchell, barring injury, are going to be Eagles for a long, long time, man. They are ballers, these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I know we got the Commanders on Thursday. Didn't mean to get premature like the Dawson Yankoff joke, but they're gonna
Colson,
whatever. they're really, other than the Ravens, no other defenses on this schedule. Maybe the Steelers that kind of scare us.
The offenses will get harder. I mean, they have faced four straight horrible offenses, and Cincy, while they've got some great players, has no offensive line. I mean,
they just put up 34 on Baltimore. I mean, they scored 41 against the Ravens. Since they played the Eagles, they put up 41 and 34.
And they're still 4-6. All right.
They're on their way back.